that. You know what I mean? Like, how do the pieces fit together?
See, that's
right?
One of the things is once you get to the point of developers testing what the code should do, that frees up QA to test the parts that you would never think of. Because that's the thing about
they test the customer flow, right? Like the, you know, like, oh, I'm a customer trying to use this and this doesn't make any sense, even though all the tests pass, right?
Right.
Well, that's because the test doesn't
Stu
pass.
Stu Holloway
like,
has a great talk entitled "How to Fail with 100% Code Coverage."
Yeah.
And it's talking about those things where you could say, absolutely, even with a good suite of unit tests, it doesn't mean your code is ready to ship. Because there's been a meme running around in the Agile space that says unit tests and TDD mean I can fire my QA department.
Yeah.
And every Agilist I know of, you know, who's like 1 or 2 degrees removed from the Agile manifesto, is like, no. That's not what this means.
Yeah.
This is developers practicing good development hygiene. That's all this is.
It means you can refocus your QA, I think. And that's kind of the key.
Thinking about things that should break. Rather, you know, thinking about what could break as opposed to, validation.
Or is the experience right? You know, like it took me 20 clicks to do something that should only take 1 click. You know, that doesn't make any sense. So they file a bug on that, right?
You know what I've noticed, though? I've noticed a lot of resistance from the QA crowd because all of a sudden it means that now they have to start thinking. They can't just do mindless, let me enter, wide-ranging values into every text box. They have to start thinking about how to break it.
Yeah, because that's the kind of thing that should just be automated, right?
Right.
All the checklist type stuff should be automated. The stuff where it's like, let me think about how I use this as a user, how this integrates with that. That's the kind of thing that QA should be focused on.
That's the kind of stuff that we're looking at in SQL Server. You've got devs actually writing the code, and as a test, you want to look into the code and kind of catch edge cases, but you will typically... You want to start off with the approach of, hey, this is a black box. You know, here's the general functionality it's supposed to work on. How are the users going to actually use this? What is their goal going to be? What are they going to think about? What's the user story like?
What's the maximum depth of the number of nested selects? I break it by just opening more and more and more and more and more selects? I mean,
exactly. And your goal is just to think of the craziest ways that you can use something and the ways that you can break it and not the ways that it's supposed to work. Just because... You know, that's the goal. That's supposed to have been tested by the unit testing.
And if you're doing your QA right, at the end of that, you take all of your failed, you know, manual tests and you turn them back into unit tests that make sure that you're not regressing the problems that you're finding.
Well, that's the loop back, right?
Exactly.
That's where QA says, we filed a bug, and the first thing a dev does is write unit tests to prove the bug, right?
Yeah.
To make sure the test, you know, A, it forces me to think about how do I prove this, and if I can't, maybe I need to think about maybe restructuring, refactoring some of the code.
So where does the fork happen between a dev and a tester? If everyone on the team is a dev, what's the difference? Is the only difference is that the tester thinks about different stuff, but they're all devs?
Well, I don't think you say that everybody on the team is a dev. I think you say
Why don't you? If everyone's writing code...
Well, your testers don't have to be writing code.
The difference is one group of people are writing product code, one group of people are writing code to test the product code.
And frankly, having people who are not developers who are participating in the testing process is critical because developers don't necessarily think like users. And some of the crazy stuff that users do, your testers and your developers are not going to think to do because they're like, that's crazy, why would you nest 500 selects?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example of this. A company I was working at, we had a great QA director. She thought of more creative ways to break stuff. A buddy of mine and I, we used to go visit what we'd call the House of QA, where Patty was living. And all of a sudden, one day, we got a notification, you know, in the bug tracking system that triple clicking a button causes the app to crash. It's like a 1995, you know, Windows app. And we just kind of looked at each other. We're like, we didn't even have to say it. We both got up and we trekked on over to the House of QA. We looked at her and we said, triple clicking a button? She's like, yeah, let me show you. So she brings it up, and she picks literally any button at random, and click, 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 boom, general protection fault. We're like,
awesome.
What the fuck? Hey,
now I gotta beat that
clicks, who triple clicks a button?
Edit point.
This is how you know this is live and not scripted in any way. Who triple clicks a button?
Monkeys.
But number two, what is going on that this would cause the app to crash? It just, you know... You just don't think the way developers do. Developers think the way things should work, and testers, good testers, think about ways that stuff breaks.
Well, so I don't think you need separate roles, like separate permanent roles necessarily, though. You could have teams where it's more of it's a role rather than a position in many cases, right?
See, I disagree with you.
No, because listen, I've seen developers, when they look at someone else's code, they start seeing all the edge cases and the way that it breaks. Because when you're writing code, you tend to try to, like, you know what areas of code maybe are a little shaky, and so you kind of avoid them when you're testing. it's an almost like an unconscious bias. Like, you don't want to see your code break. But when you get code from another developer, you want to see that shit break, that stuff break. You want to see it break, right? And, see, and I think, like, it's easier to put yourself in a position where you're trying to break it when it's not your code, as opposed to when you're a developer, you know, you kind of want to keep producing more code that works, and you're not interested in producing code that doesn't work.
Well, there's a classic industry problem. Developers don't like to write unit tests. They don't view it as the fun part of development. And I think that that's something that has to be overcome.
I think that's changing.
It is changing. But I mean, there's still a lot of that.
The TDD wave is starting to change some of that. But part of it to me is just in terms of the mental model, right? Developers spend so much time trying to make sure stuff works.
Yeah.
That I think changing your mind, changing your approach to things about how do I break stuff. I mean, the developer is going to be thinking in terms of code. He's going to be thinking in terms of what's reasonable.
No, I know, but if you say, if you get, tell them, okay, I want you to spend the next day testing Joe's code or someone else's code, they will be finding that role as tester. Because, like, even in the little, like, code game show today, right? Like, sitting in the audience, you know, constantly looking for edge cases where, oh, that's not going to work. You know, like the whole...
So, okay, so hang on then. So, in the coding game show thing that we played today at the Patterns and Practices Summit... We were doing pair programming, right. And pair programming works because you've got one guy writing code and one guy looking around the code. Can't you do that organizationally, where you have pair programming such Absolutely. That the developer and the tester are not positions, but are rather roles, where you're pair programming not in like a let's pair program for an hour, but in a let's pair program for the next 4 weeks or the next sprint,
but see, the
and then
thing
swap.
Is, in pairing, one guy's thinking tactically and the other one's thinking strategically, but they're both thinking towards the same goal. They're both thinking towards how do we meet all of our requirements and whatnot, whereas a good tester is thinking outside of the requirements. Developers are trying to meet requirements. Testers are trying to think outside of the requirements box. And so frequently they'll think of things that a developer says, well, that's not part of the requirements, and the tester says, yes, but users will do this.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm thinking that it's important to have somebody who's just, you know, it's kind of like if you're trying to write poetry in a language that's not your natural language is really, really hard. Right? That's your final, you know, moment of mastery. If I were to try to write poetry in French, it would be terrible. But, you know, if a native Frenchman tries to write poetry in English, same problem. We could do it in our native tongue. And developers have a native tongue, if you will, of, I want to see stuff meet the requirements. Testers is, screw the requirements, I just want to break stuff.
Is that because we tell them that they are testers or developers, or are they born that way?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it's a little bit of both, but I don't know. I mean, I've been a developer for too many years now. I don't think I could be a good tester.
I've known a number of people whose skill is testing, so you have to believe there's something intrinsic to the way they think and to the way they approach software and problems in general that makes it a...
But you were a developer, and then you came to work at Microsoft. You were a developer outside of Microsoft, mm-hmm. and now you're a tester at Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
So which way were you born?
He's bi.
It's the same analytical skill,
but see,
right?
Working as a tester at Microsoft isn't just testing. It's being a developer. I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of the skills that you do as a developer are kind of almost required to be a tester.
Think of it this way. If you're saying developers are good at meeting requirements, well, a tester is the developer's requirements that are to break the app.
Yes, they've got a different set of requirements. You're writing requirements to meet some certain criteria, and we're writing, our requirements are to figure out what the edge cases of that criteria are. What are the cases that the typical user are going to do? Like, they know that here's this piece of functionality, but how are they going to try to stretch that functionality? How are they going to try to really test it in the real world? And that's the job of the tester, to write the requirements for not what it does, but what it's going to be expected to do by customers.
Yeah, I agree, but I think that there's two different mindsets you can approach that from. Right? Kind of like just in testing, there's white box and black box testing. One where you understand a little bit about how the thing you're testing works, and the other where you don't, and you just kind of look at the inputs and the outputs. Testers that aren't developers, that aren't writing code for tests, they're black box testers. They're just looking at the behavior of the system from outside of it and deciding, hey, does this look right? Does this look like what I expected? And you need both. You can't live with one or the other.
But I feel like you guys haven't answered the question about, is it a position or a role? Should you be able to go both ways, or should you get hired into one and that should be what your career is?
I think it's better when you end up going both ways. I mean, if you start off as a dev and you move to a test and you rotate back and forth, it gives you a different perspective. Every time you shift, you get an opportunity to look back at it. And as a dev, if you've had an opportunity to be test before, I think it gives you much better ability to look at code or develop code with kind of an idea of, you know, the different ways that it could be used. And so you start thinking about these cases before you even start coding, and you end up writing better code as a result.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for the QA on our team, but I will try to. I think lately, like, there's been this push to integrate it more into the design phase and even coding. Like, they've coded a lot of stuff for some of our ASP.NET web pages stuff that we've been doing. And I think they're happier overall and doing a better job as testers. Like, they're not only doing black box testing, but they're also doing code reviews. And that sort of thing as well.
Sure. Ultimately, right, you could say that any skill, I mean, now we start getting into, you know, innate talent versus learned skill. I think anybody could learn just about any skill, right? And for something, testing versus developing, I mean, I don't think there's a genetic marker somewhere that says you will be a QA
guy
versus...
It's on chromosome 23.
Oh, okay, there we go. I mean, but I do think that kind of like... You know, speaking a foreign language, the more you do something, the better you get at it. Yeah. Most, you know, I'm a developer. I grew up developing, right? I mean, that's kind of my career path has been pretty much one of 100% development. Mm-hmm. And so, if I were to jump into testing, I think I would be terrible at it. Now, if I did it for long enough, right? I mean, if I you know, got a job at Microsoft as an SDET and wrote test code, I think I would eventually start learning some of the tricks. The idioms, the you know, the things that make you a good tester, but it would take time. I mean, it would really take, and I'm sure I would learn a lot of good things along the way that would help me as a developer.
So here, you know, to the question you asked, you know, I think of it kind of like, will I learn French better by just speaking it or by just listening to it? Well, you won't. You'll do much better if you do both. And I think that having software engineers who both develop code and then test code and test systems, you get the best of both worlds. You learn things about how to write code defensively, about how to, you know, look for edge cases that you wouldn't learn if you just didn't, you know, ignore the testing side.
So how do we break the stigma of the tester as lesser being?
Pay elevate some testers to
pay,
godhood.
Pay them more. What'd you say?
Elevate some testers to godhood. No, I mean, put testers out in front and evangelize testing.
Oh, battery dead.
The problem is...